Okay, on both sides. The Kibbe Eger leaves Tosus with the Tzarachian. Tosus sets up the case of the Braisa. Hayaton Ochan Maskin Mibod Yom, and then he went out Mishach HaSeicha Chayiv. The reason is Akiras Gubok Akiras Chayfetz. Says Tosus, it's got to be talking about a case of Amad Lafus. Before the Akiras Gufok Akiras Chayfetz, there was an Amad Lafus, which is therefore going to break up the original Akira, and therefore the only thing you can be discussing to be Chayiv is the Akiras Gufok afterwards. If the Akira that was previous would not be Batal, then you would be Chayiv because that Akira is still here, that Akira wasn't Baal Yom. So Tosus raises the question that if that's the case, why do you have to talk about a Baal Yom case? Talk about a case that a person did an Akira on Shabbos and he was Amad Lafus and then he started walking. So he did Akira's Chayfetz, he picked it up, put it on his shoulder, and then he started walking and stopped and started again. So why not say that the Braisa would also teach us in such a case that he's chayiv akiras gufo kakiras chayfetz? So Tosus, after all, it's amad lafush in any case. So you're breaking up the original akira, and therefore the only reason you're chayiv is because of the akira gufo afterwards. So Tosus answers that that would not, in fact, be possible to give that case and base the chiyuv on the Akiras Gufo Kakiras Chayfetz that occurred after the Amad Lafus. Why? Because says Tosus, because even if Akiras Gufo is not Kakiras Chayfetz, and if that's true, what else is true? Hanachas Gufo is not Hanachas Chayfetz. So then it comes out that the Kira Rishona was not Batal, and if the Kira Rishona was on Shabbos, so then you could certainly be chayiv based on the Kira Rishona. That's Tosus. So clearly Tosus is going with Shitaso and Amid Aleph. That's the first thing to obviously recognize. Tosus is going with Shitaso and Amid Aleph, that the Shaila of Akiras Gufo is also Shaila by Nochas Gufo. And therefore Tosus is saying is, in effect, that you would not have to come on to Akiras Gufo, Akiras Chayfetz to be Chayiv, because even if it wasn't Chayiv, so to Nochas Gufo is not Chayiv, and therefore Akiras Shon is still here. Of the Kivega says, what's the Pshat Akiras Gufo Kakiras Chayfetz? So he sets it up based on the way he brings from the Maharam, that the Pshat is that you have to actually move the Chayfetz itself in Komo. If the Chayfetz is still where it was, just that you move, so that's the problem of Akiras Gufo Afka Kakiras Chayfetz or Anachas Gufo Afka Anachas Chayfetz. With that introduction, Kivega says, okay, so let's even assume Akiras Gufo Naka Akiras Chayfetz, Hanachas Gufo Naka Hanachas Chayfetz. The Chayfetz itself didn't move. But as far as the status of the Chayfetz itself, vis-a-vis somebody else, if you have a situation of Hanachas Gufo and it's Naka Hanachas Chayfetz, so in terms of me, I'm not Chayf, because I didn't move it from what was before. But as far as the status of the Chayfetz to somebody else, clearly, that would be a hanacha, that somebody would pick it up and he'd be chayiv. Based on that akira, he could then do a hotza and be chayiv. Clearly the chayfetz is considered to be in a state of munach. Baharaya, from the Mishnah, v'tz munach biyad, havi hanacha, as Tosus points out in the Banu Amid Aleph, lein danotel miyado havi akira, osinotel miyado, so therefore, what would be in the case of a person who did an Akiras Chayfetz after dark, and then it was Amad Lafush, and then he moved, and it was Motsi. So what are you saying? Akiras Gufo is not Akiras Chayfetz, and you're still going to be Chayf, because the Akira Rishona was not Batal. That's what Tosu said. So to Ricky Vega, what are you talking about? There was an Amad Lafush. That Amad Lafush is a Nachas Gufo, Lavka Nachas Chayfetz. Granted, that's for you. But as far as the Chayfetz is concerned, it's considered munach, if someone else would do an akira, so that would be a valid akira. So clearly, the akira shown is batal. So now, when you did an akira afterwards, so now the question is, why you chayev? If akira is good for not akira is chayfetz, that doesn't count for anything. So what does Tosu say? Even if akira is good for not akira is chayfetz, the raisa would still, the din would still be the chayev because of the first akira. No, the first akira is clearly batal because the chayfetz is munach. So now we have to deal with another akira. So would it be somebody else or you? So why chayev must be because of your other akira? Must be akira zuv akira chayfetz. So you do have a raisa. So the raisa could have talked about a case where everything was after dark. Yeah. So I left off last year that we have to think two possibilities in responding to Ikhmeri's question. Let's see what we can say. No? Let me hear from everybody. What do you think? What's the answer? Who thought about it? No? Where do we go here? We have two ways to think about this. Everybody all wants, right? Everyone knows what we want to say, right? What's the pshat? So, okay, the remez in this is, of course, because the Eger is setting himself up in the way he explains Akira Sluf, Akira Shefef, Anachas Gimel Kos Shefef, and why there's a chidish in that, and why would you think otherwise? He's locking himself into a particular understanding that this issue is because you have to have moved the chayfet per se from its makom. That's what's necessary for akiras, akira for anacha. It has to come to rest in place that it wasn't resting a minute before. It had to be moved from place that it wasn't a second before. That's the notion of akiras gufo, akiras chayfet, that the chiddush is that it is considered to be in a different spot. You could say because it's considered to be on the ground, so therefore it was on the ground in this spot in the ground, and then it was on this spot in the ground, and then it was on this spot in the ground. So that's the chiddush of akiras gufo, akiras chayfet, anachas gufo, anachas chayfet. It's considered to have been moved because it was on a different ground each time, but without that special chiddush. So where is it? Is where it was? It's on your shoulder. It's wherever it was on your goof. So it didn't move from that spot on the goof. So that's the chidush, and that's the question of whether akiras gufo chayev chayves. So kibeger, in terms of that halacha, you could say it's not considered that you have a hanacha, an akira, but hanachas gufo might not be hanachas chayves for that idea, but the etzem, the chayves, is munach. So maybe we could challenge that assumption, and we have reason to think that way because of a mashal. Maybe we could challenge the assumption of Kibbe Eger that he says that hanachas gufo is not hanachas chevetz, but it is munach vis-a-vis someone else's akira. Kibbe Eger took that for granted, and therefore the akira shona should be batal because it's now in a state of munach, and someone else could be oker, and brings the life in the Mishnah. Wait a second. The Mashah, in the very beginning of the Suya, raised the question. Hanachas gufo. Is not hanachas chefetz. Could that be so? In fact, the Kibbe Eger, what do you do with the Mishnah? In fact, the Mashah, what do you do with the Mishnah? Says the Mashah, first of all, if the ani is oker miyad balabais, so the chevetz is biyad balabais, so the ani is oker miyad, though it's called an akira, it's a mishnah. See that it's considered to be hanachas gufo kanachas chevetz. It says the mashah, well, maybe you could deflect that, because that's in terms of that it's not, it's a hanacha vis-a-vis the other one's akira. So agabi, the akira that comes afterwards, maybe it's considered a hanacha. But in terms of a hanacha that follows an akira, maybe it's not a hanacha. So he says, no, it's also not true. Because you see that in the earlier part of the Mishnah. Nasana ani l'toch yadav shebal habayis. So he puts it down, and now he's chayef for hanacha. He did a hanacha. So what do you see? Hanacha is guf, hanacha is chayef. Moshe's question. First glance, the Priya Gidolo, what kind of question is this? What do we have over here? We're talking about the status of the Chayfetz that's in the hands of the Balabais. So in terms of that, so you see in the Mishnah that it's considered to be Munach. What's the question of Hanachas Gufka, Hanachas Chayfetz? If you have a Maisa Hanacha, if you have a Maisa Hanacha, when I'm walking and then I stop, but I didn't put the Chayfetz down by itself. I stopped and the Chayfetz therefore came to rest. Is that called a Hanacha, that I did a Hanacha in the Malach of Hotzah? What kind of questions must I have in terms of the Mishnah, where we're discussing not the issue of, we're talking about the status of the Chayfetz. Is the Chayfetz now at rest? If it's in the hands of the Baal Bais, the Etzem, the Chayfetz, is in the hands of the Baal Bais. It's at rest. If I put it, if I take it, if in other words, sorry, if I'm walking and I didn't put it down, I stopped, that's the shadow. Is that called a Maisa Hanacha on the Chayfetz? What do you see from the Masha? That the issue of Hanachas Gufka, Hanachas Chayfetz speaks to the question of the Chayfetz status itself. If Hanachas Gufo is Hanachas Chayfetz, then the Chayfetz is Munach. If Hanachas Gufna Hanachas Chayfetz, the Chayfetz is not Munach. In fact, the Masha, so how can you have an Akira from the Yad of the Baal Bais? How can you have a Hanach in the hands of the Baal Bais? It's Hanachas Guf. Kanachas Chayfetz is not Kanachas Chayfetz, it's not Akira, it's not Hanacha. Because if it's not Kanachas Chayfetz, it's not considered Munach. So the Masha gives a Chiluk. He says, what's the difference over there? Yeshu Yashe. He doesn't say a radical distinction, like we're asking, it's a whole separate issue. One is a question of the status of the Chayfetz, one is a status question of a Maisa Hanacha. He says, the Chiluk is, Haguf hamunach kvar havi hanach. If you have a guf that's munach from before, then it's considered hanacha, whether you put in it, whether you take from it. But if it's, that's if the guf was munach kvar. But if it's guf haholech im chayfetz, that's where we have a question. Havi hanacha sa guf kesha omeh hanacha olo. Atshi niach chayfetz bekarkas. Which means that if you're walking with the chayfetz and you stop, that's our suffering. So what is that suffix? Now plug in what the Masha's understanding was from the question into the terence. So if the goof is walking with the chayfetz and then you stop, so that's the suffix. And what's the suffix? That if it's not kanochas chayfetz, then what do I have here in the terms of the chayfetz? It's not munach. That's what comes out of this Masha. No way to get around it. Masha did not distinguish between the status of the chayfetz per se. That is munach. But in terms of what you require for me to be chayiv, I have to have moved it. That's in Kiv Eger's point, based on the Maram, or Maisa Hanach, or say that with Kiv Eger's idea that I have to have moved the chayiv from its spot. So that's why I can't be chayiv. Masha didn't go that route. Masha looked at it basically to the extent that I have anach as chayiv, I have munach. If I don't have anach, I don't have munach. So the Masha said, how can it be in the Mishnah that you can be okered from the hands of the Baal Bais and it's called Nakira? Oh, maybe that's not such a kasha, because for that it is considered Anacha, that it's Munach. But what about if I put it back into the hands of the Baal Bais? So how could that be? So the Masha says, the difference is the Guf HaMunach Kvar, then it's in the Guf HaMunach Kvar, that's Munach. But if a person is walking and stops, so that's the Safek. What's the Safek? That if it's not Anacha Shemes, it's not Munach. A guf haholech and a chayfetz dachta safek. Clearly, that's what Masha understood. So Yeshua, you were asking the other day. So what does it mean in the case of the Mishnah that the chayy the Baal Bais was there from before by the window? Yeah. The chayfetz is munach in his hands. So what it means, he didn't walk there to get to the window. Have you asked him that? What? He could have picked it up. What, and then someone picked it up. Someone put it in his hand. He never walked. It happened to be next to him.
So that's still an excuse.
The Rashi says, "Guf haholech im hachefetz," and then you stopped. That's the suffix of whether you have hanachas chayfetz, whether it's considered munach. He's saying, so what if you picked it up without having taken a step? That's good for munach kvar. You don't think so?
No, it's in the state of akira. You picked it up.
The Masha says, so he's saying he didn't move with the chayfetz.
But, okay, so if he did an akira and stuck his hand outside and put it down, so where was the akira then? Because it was like
No. The bow, talking about the bow, the ani put it in his hand and took it from his hand. The question is how it got to his hand. So he didn't pick it up somewhere else and walk to the window. That's what it sounds like.
It
didn't come to the window and stop. And stop walking, because that would not be enough to be considered to be munach. The Masha is assuming that was not the case of the Mishnah. That much I see. Your question is, did he pick it up, or did someone put it in his hand? You assume someone put it in his hand. You're saying maybe he picked it up where he is. But it's not gufa holech in machefetz.
I just don't understand that answer, because if he was standing next to the window and he picked it up and then Ani stuck his hand in and took it from Balabais' hand, so that means even though he picked it up and did an akira, but the fact that he's not moving now is a hanacha.
And which was the Ani? It's from Munach or the Balabais?
The Chepetz is Munach, we had Balabais right now.
So that's what I was asking is, let's say he did an akira.
Your question,
Let's say the Balabais did an akira and stopped. So that's a hanacha. And then he stuck his hand outside and put it down. So where's the akira on that?
When his hand paused, he's saying that should be a hanacha.
And that's what we're saying, apparently. Is that's a hanacha enough for the ani to come in and take it from his hand?
The ani is taking from him, so for him, in the ani's eyes, his point of view, the Balabais is good for munach, right?
You're separating between the Balabais' status of the akira and hanacha and someone else.
But I thought that's daffing off the Marsha's doing.
Right, that's not right. The Marsha seems to be talking in an absolute sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever is hanacha l'gabi you needs to be is a hanacha l'gabi everyone else.
Nope, anyone want to weigh in here? Yoel, what do you think? Nope. What?
Good question.
Look, this maybe requires more thought. One thing seems clear. The case of the Masha, the case of the Mishnah according to Masha, is not that person picked up the chayfetz and started walking with it to the spot where the ani took it from him or put it, took it from him, Because that would be the suffix of hanachas, and that would be a suffix in the Mishnah, and then you'd be able to prove from the Mishnah that hanachas hagof hanachas chayfetz. So this much I see from the Maharsha, that the question of hanachas gof hanachas chayfetz relates to the status of the chayfetz itself. So the Maharsha could ask simply from the Mishnah, from the fact that you can have an akira or you can have a hanacha vis-a-vis the yad of the Balabais, let's say. That you see that the hanachas gufka, hanachas chayfetz for the Masha, it's one and the same idea. Which the Eger takes for granted that there's two separate issues here. The chayfetz is munach vis-a-vis somebody else. They'll do an akira, they did an akira, because they did it from the state of munach. As far as your chiv is concerned, you have to have moved the chayfetz from its spot, that's why maybe it's not going to work for you as a melachas hotzah, because you didn't move the chayfetz from its spot. But the chayfetz is munach. The Masha seems to think otherwise. That if it's a nachas gufka, nachas chayfetz, the chayfetz is not munach. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, there's a gufa, a munach kvar, that's different than the case of a person who's walking with the chayfetz. That's what I see in this Masha. So it's obvious, according to the Masha's premise, that Rukivega's kasha doesn't start. This could be why Tosis took for granted that if the case would be that you were okay on Shabbos. You picked up the chavis on Shabbos. And then there was a movement, and it was on Madlafush, and then you started walking again. So Tosa says that case, to be chayiv, you wouldn't have to say it's because of the akiras gulf that was subsequent to the Amadlafush, that akiras gulf is akiras chavis. No. Because even if Akiras Kuf is not Akiras Chayfetz, what would that mean? That would mean Hanochas Kuf not Laakan Nochas Chayfetz, which means that the Omad Lofesh doesn't count to undermine, to Mimvato the Akira that was before. So if you could be Chay, based on the Akira that was before, which was also on Shabbos. So Kibbeke says, what do you mean? But the Omad Lofesh is a Hanocha in terms of the Chayfetz itself. But no, the Masha is teaching us that if you have Hanochas Guf, in a case of Guf HaHolech and Machayfetz, and it's not Kanochas Chayfetz, then I don't have a Chayfetz of Munach. If someone would take it from a person who had just stopped, and the person was walking, not, he had the Chayfetz on him, he was walking and he stopped, someone would take it, that would not count as an Akira, according to the Masha. The Mishnah is different because it was Guf HaMunach Kva. That's what you see in the Masha. So it's clear if the Hanocha is not Munach Mitzad Asmu, Kibbeh is Kash, doesn't start. Then El Chanavi tells us it's correct that the first Akira is still here. So you'd be Chai for the first Akira. I think this is one particular Mahalach that you could say to resolve Kibbeh is Kash, using the Masha from the beginning of the Sugya. Okay, the nuances of the Mishnah, we could still debate a little bit, but basically, Masha clearly understood the implications of Anachas Lachman El Chayfetz as defining the status of the Chayfetz itself. So that would simply answer the Kibbeh's kasha. Kibbeh assumed that the Chayfetz is Munach vis-a-vis someone else, and therefore it's Vato the first Akira. According to the Masha, you see not that way. If Ravka Dach is Chayfetz, it's not Munach. Yeah.
So according to this, the Kamala would say that someone else is
stupid
from you.
Yeah, it would come out that if you were walking with the Chayfetz and you stopped, and at that point where it was Ahmad Lafas that you stopped, someone would take it from you, that wouldn't count as an Akir. If Hanachas Guf Lafka Nachas Chayfetz, then this, the Chayfetz is not in the status of Munach right now, for anybody. This is clear. Kibbeh is clear not that way. I understand. But that's why I think the Mashal would hold in that case.
How did Ani get to the
Now Josh got to make sense.
How did Ani now get to the house? And he was
not the Ani. The Baal Bai. Ani taking from the. Ani takes it from the Baal Bai.
Ani's walking to the house.
No, he's not holding anything. Baal Bai.
Baal Bai is going to take it from him.
Whatever case. Okay, whatever.
How does Ani get there then? He was there forever?
No, he couldn't have seen there. Someone could have put something in his hand.
That's what he's talking about.
I'm saying you have to say something like that in the Mishnah. Whoever took it from the other one, the one that had it in his hand, he didn't walk with the chayfetz to the place where the other one took it from his hand. I suppose that's what the Mashal have to say. Now, there's another way to go here in the Rizam Kibbeh discussion. One that many Achronim also try to push very hard to answer to Ptosis. Basically, it presents a different mahalach in understanding Hanachas Guf or Akiras Guf Kanachas Chayfetz Akiras Chayfetz. We have the Masha that says it has to do with the definition of the item itself being Munach. We have Rabbi Kibbeh Eger that says no, it has to do with whether you have Mechas or Tzah, because you have to have moved the Chayfetz from its spot. But the Chayfetz is Munach. Now there's another possibility. Way back, we said this on the first day, we brought a Chazonish, but then you really could say it a little less extreme as a Chazonish says it. Rav Shmuel Zavsky says like this along these lines, that there's a halacha of whether chayfetz is munach or not vis-a-vis someone else's akira and so on. That's one issue. There's another halacha in terms of your melechus otzah has to be comprised of discrete parts. It has to be shinir reshus otzah. There has to be akira. There has to be hanach. Akira and hanacha is defined in terms of having done in ma'isa akira. A Maisa Akira has to speak to the Chayfetz, to relate to the Chayfetz. He did an Akira on the Chayfetz. He did a Hanacha on the Chayfetz. Now, the Shaila in Akira's Gufo is that precise question. When you did Akira's Gufo, what did you do the Akira on? You moved. Does that Akira express itself in terms of the Chayfetz? Can we say that you did an Akira on the Chayfetz? By Hanachas Gufo, that's the suffix of the Gemara as well. So you did Hanacha on you. You stopped. But is that considered that you did Hanacha on the Chayfetz? You were Maniach the Chayfetz. Because you didn't act on the Chayfetz directly. You acted on yourself, on your goof. But the extent that we say, no, included in that is Nichlal Hanachas Chayfetz. It relates to the Chayfetz. That's the suffix. And again, I think it comes down, I didn't see this like a second, but to me it's saying, it makes sense. The lashon min komo, how much you should emphasize the word min komo in the Gemara, is very interesting and weighs in on this question. Rabbi Kiva Eger would take that word min komo and put it in bold. Kiras gufo, ka kiras chevetz min komo dami. That's the dagesh. Is it considered that you moved it mimakomo or not? That's what we learned, that the pshat of Rebbe's answer was that it is considered mimakomo, and you have to explain, because being on your goof is viewed as being on the ground, since your goof is naich, so therefore it was in one spot on the ground, and then it's a different spot on the ground, it's considered to be that it moved mimakomo. The other way to learn it, we're learning it right now, it's not the Mekomo, it's not the Nakuda here. It's Akiras Gufu Ka Akiras Chefetz or not. It's not Ka Akiras Chefetz. You acted on the Guf, not on the Chefetz. Hanachas Gufu Ka Hanachas Chefetz or not. With that Hakdama, now we can come back to the Kivevi. Tosis is saying the following. If the case was that I did an Akira on Shabbos, Akiras Chefetz, then I walked and I stopped and I walked again. So then the Braisa would say, Chayev, so you can't tell me that case would prove anything about Akiras Gufu Kakiras Chayfetz. Because even if Akiras Gufu Kakiras Chayfetz, which also means Hanachas Gufu Kakiras Chayfetz, so then by the same token, I don't have Akiras Gufu, I don't have Hanachas Gufu either. And if so, I'm left with my original Akira, which I could be Mechai based on the Akira that was on Shabbos, the Akiras Chayfetz itself. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, what do you mean? That Akira should be bottled. Why? Because the Omer Lafush creates, even if it doesn't make you chayiv, because as the Mekibega understood it, it doesn't make you chayiv because the chayfetz is not in a new place where it was, from where it was a minute before, but the chayfetz is munach. So it's subject now to a new Akira, and the old Akira is gone. So the answer is no. It's true that you're not going to be, that the chayfetz might be munach, but you didn't do a maisa hanacha. If you didn't do a maisa hanacha, then your maisa akira is still pending. In order to negate the original akira, it's not just the fact that it could be munach. It's munach. It's someone else could do an akira now. No, as far as you are concerned, for your cycle to be broken, you have to have a maisa hanacha that was your maisa hanacha, that therefore that akira is no longer here. Since we're dealing with the issue in terms of maisa akira, maisa hanacha did express itself on the chayfetz, did not express itself on the chayfetz. So if the hanacha did not express itself on the chayfetz, so then the maisa hanacha that's absent means that the first akira that you did is still here, still pending. That's how many Achronim want to say to Rabbi Kiveger's Kash. I think it's miyusad on the idea that the issue of Anachas Guf and El Chavetz is about a Maisa Anacha. From Rabbi Kiveger's understanding, it's a little harder to hear this. I mean, a Maisa, the Chavetz is Munach. Okay, technically, I can't be Chai, but I didn't move the Chavetz. A technical requirement. The Chavetz did not, you know, change from one place to the other. That's a technical requirement. The fact that I can't be Mechuyah for the Hotzah, because the Chavetz did move from its place, is not strong enough of a reason to say that first Akira is still here. Understand well why I'm bringing the other understanding of Anachas Gufo here to answer the Kasha. So it's a technical requirement within the total picture of Mechel Tzad. It's not in terms of the defining of Maisa Akira, Maisa Anacha. You have to have the Malkum of the Chavetz. So, okay, he may not have done that, but the Akira is gone, because it's Munach. If someone else can do an Akira, so your Akira is gone, your first Akira. But if we're talking about the issue in terms of a Maisa Akira, and a Maisa Anocha, that has to express on the Chefetz, if you acted on a Chefetz by doing an Akira, and you didn't act on the Chefetz by doing an Anocha, so the Akira is still here. That's the chiddush of the going to say from Rabbi Kiveger. You don't have to assume it's true. You could still perhaps argue that no, if the chevetz is munach, so it's already, you know, Akira is gone. But you don't have to say that. So we can hear a svara, strong svara, to argue that if I didn't do my maisa anacha on the chevetz, then the Akira which was done before is still kayam, and therefore as far as my chiv is concerned, right, you could still mechayiv for the first akira.
Even though someone else can do an akira.
I think so. Even though someone else could do an akira, that much we have to concede of Kivega's point. That's correct. But as far as my akira is concerned, if my akira has not been negated by my sanacha, then my akira can still remain. Again, being a chi, being a tour, really, because if it was a kira that was before Shabbos, it would remain in terms of the pattering me. If it was a kira on Shabbos, it would be remained that I can mechayiv based on that akira. That's the second way that one would attack Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Again, there are two different ways to go about this. One is to assume that, like the Mashah seems to say, that the issue of anachas gubavnos chayfetz would translate into the chayfetz itself not being considered munach. So therefore the first akira is obviously still here. And now we're suggesting a different idea, that given that the issue of anachas gubavnos chayfetz is a function of whether you acted on the chayfetz in the form of doing a maisa anacha on the chayfetz, if you didn't do a maisa anacha that counts for you as a maisa anacha, so your maisa akira still stands as far as you're concerned. So you are different than other people. Other people, they can be an akira, but as far as your cycle of your melacha, your first akira has not come to an end with having a maisa anacha that correlates as well to the chayfetz. If your first maisa akira is still open, still pending. Someone asked me this morning, so Rabbi Kivager Nebuch, what does he think? Rabbi Kivager, you know, he's asking a question. Yeah, so it's against Tosis, right? Yeah, Rabbi Kivager understood it a certain way. Chanami, Tzorachi and Tosis. But he has good company. I found the Ritva Chadashim says, that the suffix of Rebbe, we asked of Rebbe, was, as it says, hitino chavero, akira skupo kakira schepes, or not, hitino chavero v'yasa. So the Ritva Chadashim says, Rav could have formulated another case. So what other case does everyone know he could have formulated? One case? The case of the Braisa. That hayato and miba'od yom, right? So he says that, but he says one other case. Hu adin de matshila nivi im hayatan vod yom, which is the Braisa. That Rashi says it's the same thing. Inami ki mishetech shach hitinach mo'okun o'maskin v'amad lachush v'yatsa lachutz. Hear this? But Tosus asked on the Braisa. So why not take the case of mishetech shach and achanami? That could have been Rav Shaila too. Ichashiv akira skupo kakira skefet because name of Braisa. El nakat chadim inayah deshlicha tveh. So according to the Ritva, in a chinami, it comes out, Kivega's premise seems to be correct. The Amad Lafush, in between, right, will negate the original Akira. Question? One last issue, and then I want to start next Gemara. One last issue we have to recognize, it's still a loose end here. What about the Rashba that those Yishonim quotes in the Aleph? What did the Rashba say? That the suffix of the Gemara was limited to what? Akira's Gufo, Kakira's Chavis. As far as Hanachas Gufo, what does he say? Hashut. For the Gemara, the standards are lower. Hanachas Gufo is what? It's certainly like Hanachas Chepes. So now, we've lost Tosus Teretz at the end of the Tosus. We've lost Tosus Teretz. Even if you don't agree with the Wikipedia, you agree with Tosus. So fine. But at least you have an answer to the question of why the Braisa needed to take the case of Ta'un Miba'od Yom and Amad Lafush and so on, and not the case of Misha Hashecha. Because Tosfos argues that if it was Misha Hashecha, so if there was, even if it was not a Kiras Gufo, Kiras Chepetz, so neither would Hanachas Gufo be Hanachas Chepetz, and therefore you wouldn't have anything to nullify the first Akira. That's only true if you say that the suffix of the Gemara is equally on Hanachas as on Akira. If you say that Hanachas Pshita, that Hanachas Aguf is Hanachas Chepetz, So then why not say the case of Mishach HaShecha with Amad Lovers? What is the Rashba going to do with Tosa's question? That Hanachas Haguf is Hanachas Chefetz, so certainly that would be Mevatel, the original Akir.
You're Chayiv at that point, so how do you know
Kiris
Gufa?
You're
Chayiv at that point.
What?
If you give that case,
you're
chayiv, so
without kiras gufa, you're still chayiv. What are you saying? No, that would be the chiddush. That Braisa could tell me the case.
It would be a proof of kiras gufa because you are chayiv for that first step, not the second step.
Ah,
you're
in addition to rishus.
Yeah. What game?
What's the problem? That's not the
gate. No. In other words, what would happen? Right. You walked afterwards. You walked that afterwards. Yeah. You lowered yourself inside the Shecha Shecha, you started walking, then you stopped, then you continue walking, and you walked outside. You haven't walked outside yet. Right? Correct. You guys are right. In other words, the Hanacha Saguf was inside, and then Yatsa Lachutz. So Tosus would say that would not prove anything. Because the Amad Lafush didn't accomplish a break in the original Akira. And therefore, when you went outside and did Hanach outside, you could be chayiv based on the original Akira that was done inside when you picked it up. Right? That's for Tosus. But that's because Tosus holds that the Hanachas Gufa is as much a question as Akira. Hanachas Gufa is not to the Akira. It's Akira's Gufa, in which case you wouldn't have anything to mimvato the first Akira. If Akira's Gufa and Akira's Chayiv, then neither is the Hanacha anything. But for the Rashba, the Hanacha counts as something. So it comes out that the original Akira would be nullified because of the Amad Lafush, which was inside. Now you walked outside, you did a Hanacha, obviously a Chai based on the Akira's Gufa. So we're left with Tosus' question. Right? Everyone hear this? Tell me. If you don't hear it, tell me. Everyone hear the question. According to the Rashi and Amad Lafush, Tosus Yishanim, we're left with Tosus' question. So what could we think in terms of this for the Rashba? So what I think we may need to do is backtrack. To ask this question is to buy into Tosus' assumption in the beginning of the Tosus. To set up this question, that why not have a case after Chashecha, where you took it, you oker chefetz, then you walked, then you stopped inside, then you walked outside, is to assume that you have to build into the case in Amad Lafush. And if that's the case, who needs to do it? Start in Bojom the story, start the story after Chashecha. Why did Tosus assume that to be in Amad Lafush? So the case is, you started out before Shabbos, you picked up the chayfetz, and then you walked. We had the question about when you started walking. Then it's Amad Lafush, okay? And after Chashecha, you walked out, and Tosa said you had to have Amad Lafush before the Akira that you're mechuyah for. The Akira is good for the chayfetz, would have to be Amad Lafush prior to that. Because if not for that Amad Lafush in between, you would not be chayiv subsequently, because the original Akira, which was done mibaod yom, so that was not batal. Therefore, you wouldn't be chayiv, even though you had a real Akira afterwards. In other words, you had an Akira that won't count for anything. It was mibaod yom. You have an Akira that counts for everything. But if there's nothing that was going to be mevatal, that original Akira, you wouldn't be chayiv for the subsequent Akira. That's Tosus' premise. So you have to create an Amad Lafush that's nullifying the first Akir. Where did Tosus see it? In the Gemara in Daf Hey. The final chafat from Mizavis Lizavis. So you're moving things around inside, and then you decide to go outside, your putter, because the original Akira did not have the das to go out. So Tosus saw in that Gemara a proof that if you did an Akira that did not have the right kavana for Otsa, even if later on you did Otsa, and with another Akira, that Akira would not count for anything because the first Akira is still here. Now, in Svara, one would certainly can certainly take issue with this, in Svara. Right? You had an Akira that wasn't good. But then you had an Akira that is good. So forget the old Akira. Let's tag a Chiv on you because of the second Akira. The Ramban asked on the Ravid. Remember the Ramban's Kasha in the Ravid? The Ravid Yisod that we saw last time, that if you have an Akira's Rishus, that does not even require Hagbah in Akira of Hagbah. Akira's Rishus, Shina Rishus is itself counting as an Akira. So the Ramban asked on the Ravid, so when you go out later, you have the Akira of later, when you walked outside. The Ramban must have assumed that there was no second Akira in that Gemara. The Chiddush of that Gemara is simply that the Chiddush, that the original Akira that had Das, not Lahotzi, will not be Mechayiv you. But if I could find another Akira that is created later on, and that comes with its own Hotzah, its own cycle, the Ramban took for granted, Rav Ossai. What do you see in that Ramban? Took for granted that you can Mechayiv with the other Akira. What would Tosas say on such a kasha? If Tosas, the fact Tosas holds like the Ravid, we had a pshat that Tosas holds like the Ravid. What would Tosas say on such a kasha? No, that itself lies in Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. That if you have a story of a hotzah and there was an akira that was not sufficient grounds to mechayev you, but that akira did not get knocked down, it's all part of one tahalich, one process, and you can't say take away the first Akira and take the second one. No, you can't be chayv for the second Akira if the first Akira is still pending, even if it wasn't good enough to mechayv you. Therefore, you can have Akira of Shin Rishus, but if the Akira that was before was not with Das Lahotzi, so then you can't mechayv for the second Akira. But it's not so far-fetched to say that the Rashba and Thilzi Shonim could disagree. Just as we saw in the Ramban asking on the Ravid, that he took for granted, if I have a new Akira later on, I'm mechuyev for the second Akira. All Rabbi Yochanan's memory is about is the fact that you can't mechuyev for an Akira that didn't have Das, Amnas Lahotzi. But for all we know, there was no second Akira. I asked me, what about the, he went out, the Akira's Gufo. It says in the, so he was Nimrach, right? He was Nimrach Lohotzian. When was he Nimrach Lohotzian, I will say? What did Tosis assume in the case? When did he decide to go out after all? For Tosis, when did he decide? After the Akiras Chafetz, after the Akiras Chafetz, but very likely before the Akiras Gufo. But the Akiras Gufo is not going to help you because the first Akira is still here. If you look in Rashi at that famous days, there's a tremendous deal in Lashon of Rashi. Rashi is discussing the earlier version of Yochanan. The Gemara says that Yochanan said the same thing twice in two different ways. The different Ma'amarim quoted different ways. But the same basic halacha, the way it seems from the Gemara. So in the earlier statement of the Gemara, Hayatoan Ochen Umaskin V'nichnas Yotzei Kol Yom Kulo Eino Chayiv Ad Sheyamod. So look in Rashi. Lashon Rashi. Take a look at the Lashon Rashi. Hayato nochu namaskin. So what does it say? You had something on you, food or drink on you, and you're going in and out all day. You're not chayv until you stop. And the Bible says in Midam Adlafush. So lo tar no lakach. Hayato b'shus hayachid. Rashi explains what's the case. You were tohen b'shus hayachid in order to go from one corner of the room to the other. So you, and then you end up going out. You're not chayiv atzayamot, unless there was a point that you stopped in inside the house. Rashi says, Misha oka raglav nimlach v'yatsa v'nichnas kol yom kulo. When was the nimlach v'yatsa? Point to Rashi. When was nimlach v'yatsa? When did you change your mind to go out? After oka raglav. The Tosfos, there was, it could be a nimlach, and there could be Akaragov afterwards. Hayotonoch l'mashkin, the das not to go out, and then you decided to go out, and then Akaragov, and for Tosus, what would be Dalacha? Patur, because the original Akira was not Amunas Lahotzi, and therefore that the original Akira, which has not become nullified, there was no Amad, so you're Patur. For Rashi, it sounds like it misha akaragav nimlach. That diuk is striking. So Mashi would appear that if it was nimlach and then akaragav, then the other, the akira of akaragav would be mechayev you. So again, I'm just showing you there's a very simple way for the Rashba and the Tosi Yisham to get around Tosis Kasha. Because Tosis was making an assumption in his question If in the very beginning of the Tosis we saw that assumption, that you need an Amadulafush, otherwise the first Akira is not enough to mechayev you, so therefore you couldn't mechayev for the second Akira either. Here we see first from the Ramban's Kash and the Raivid not that way, from the Vikam Rashi over here not that way. So it's important, the Machlokas, to keep in mind, we'll get to Daf Hey. I mean, this is an important, very important issue to consider. This premise of this Tosfos is that he can have an Akira that's not sufficient Akira to mechayev, and then you have another, and it wasn't nullified, and then you have a good Akira, and then you have a Utsa. The Tosfos, you wouldn't be chayev. And from, I think, from other Rishon, you see otherwise. That you can always say, Dami Hacha, the first Akira, and if I have another Akira that counts for something, so then you can mechayev based on the second Akira. And that certainly would be what the Rashba could say. So you don't have to make an Ukimta to begin with the Amad Lafush. And then the Kasha that Tosa says later doesn't scale off the ground. In other words, if there was, if you have a second Akira, you can mechayev for the second Akira. So you couldn't talk about Shabbos. I mean, you have to be before Shabbos. So that Akira can't mechayev you, and then you can talk about Akira's Gufo on Shabbos. And everything falls into place. Tosis is locked into his question because of what he assumed in the beginning of the Tosis. Maybe the Rashba didn't have to accept that premise to begin with. So I just wanted to point that out because it's an important nekuda in terms of this whole Yisod that Tosis takes for granted. An Akira that can't be enough to mechayev you, it's still going to prevent another Akira from the mechayev you if there was no break. And you see from, again, from the Rashi, from the Ramban, and Kasha, and the Raivin, not that way. For the second Akira, if that has what to be mechayev you. Yeah, sure.
So according to the first way that we understood Tosfos, that it's only Lafush as opposed to only the Katef, so the Rashba would still have to say it's Dafka when it's Omid, when it's at least Omid the Katef.
Why?
Because when we read it like that,
we only needed to say that to say Pshat and Tosfos because of our problem of when was the Akira Skufa. That was what we brought that in for.
Right. So you had one Akira. When we read it that way, we read it as the case being that you picked up the object and you started walking on Shabbos. And then on Shabbos you walked outside. So according, if that's the case, then the Rashba, so then there's no Akira that you'd be chayav on. There's no second Akira. So you needed to be at least Omid the Katef, so the Rashba could say, well, then that Akira is...
Why not simple? You did an Akira Chayfet before Shabbos.
And you did Akira Guf before Shabbos. That's the way we read it, according to that reading of Tosfos.
No, first of all, you could talk about the rabbi derived in. That's fine, as far as I'm concerned. You walk down on Shabbos, so that's the Akira of the Shini Rishus, to say that. I mean, whatever we said for the Tosfos, say for the Rashba. In other words,
right, the second and third ways.
You don't need to break it up, that's the point. You had an Akira Sagup before Shabbos, and then you started walking whenever, let's say right away, and you didn't stop, but then you crossed on Shabbos, you crossed over to Rishus Adab. And according to the Ravid, that's a new Akira, because you changed Rishus. Why do you have to say Amid anything? No Amid Lafush and no Amid Utatim. And you're chayef for the Shini Rishus.
But I'm saying that was one of the ways that we read Tosfos, but the other way...
The other way was Amid Lukatev, that Tosfos has to acknowledge this Amid Lukatev, that Tosfos was...
To say that that's not enough Akira.
Not good enough, it's not good enough, right. Amid Lafush, you need Amid Lafush, and Amid Lukatev would not be good enough, right. Again, but as far as the Rashba, what do you do with the Rashba? The Rashba is simple. You don't need to make any kind of bookie. Whatever Tosfos is saying, it has to be Lafush as opposed to something else. Let it be the something else. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, let's take a few minutes and to start on Haschalah, the next piece of Gemara, and get ourselves into oriented. And then we'll leave a little bit of time for open discussion. Okay. Dr. Gemara, Amar Abaye, Shita Li, the following is obvious to me. Yado shel Adam. Eina lo kishus harabim v'lo kishus hayochid. A person's hand which is extended to another rishus is not considered like rishus harabim, Nor is it Rishus HaYachid. Now there's a big machokas how to read here, and the Gira said how to understand it. What's being said? We'll start with Rashi. Look at Rashi. Amar Baya, Pshitali Mimas Nisan. From our Mishnah, the following is clear. The Yadash Adam Hapshutal Rishus HaCheres. That a person's hand which is extended to a different Rishus, in either direction, is Mash from Rashi. Either way, Rishus Aram, Rishus HaYachid, Eina Nizrekes Achar Gufo Gamri. Leo's Rishus to Omeidba. It's not considered to be nigrar after where you're standing. So Abai's point is, it's not considered to be basa gufo gerera, to be after your guf. Bein shu rishus hayachid, whether your guf is rishus hayachid, so the yad won't be like rishus hayachid in that case when it's extended to rishus harabim. Bein shu rishus harabim, or whether you are omid rishus harabim, which is the equivalent of the ani. So, according to Rashi, the point of Abai's Pshitali is the Yad is not going to be Nigmar after the Guf. So, it's not going to be Rishus HaRabim if the Guf is Rishus HaRabim, and not Rishus HaYachid if the Guf is Rishus HaYachid. Kirshus HaRabim, now he explains. Kirshus, we always see from the Mishnah this way. Kirshus HaRabim lo Damya. It's not going to be like Rishus HaRabim. Now, the Gir Savashi, Miyado Da'ani. And Rishus HaYachid lo damya miyado de balabais. Explains Rashi. Kishus HaRabim lo damya miyado de ani. Diktani masnisin. Now, we're talking now the ani is Rishus HaRabim. And the ani is the chinat, and the ani extends his hand to where? To Rishus HaYachid. And we're saying the yad is not going to be like the guf. It's not nizrekes acha gufo. It's not considered Rishus HaRabim. Where do you see that? Diktani masnisin dechinata balabais mitocha patur. The ani has something in his hand, and he extended it inside, and the balabais takes from the hand of the ani. The balabais is patur. If the yad would be legamri like the guf, it would be legamri rishus ha rabin. Then the balabais to be chayiv because he took something from Rishus HaRabim. That means that you can have a Rishus HaRabim, so to speak, in the middle of a Rishus HaYachid. That's what we're conceiving of such an idea. But that's the point. The yad is not nisvek as achar gufu gamrei. So therefore, kirshus HaRabim lo damya miyadadani. The fact that the balabais is natal mitocha and he's being patur. Now, what else could Rashi have added? The Rashi mentions this as well. He says, "Nasa not mitofa." What else could have been mentioned? Let's say the ani's hand was empty. So, what's the halacha if the baal bais is nasa mitocha, and then what's the halacha? The hotzi shnei peturin. Wait a second. The baal bais is nasa mitocha. So, what do you do? If the yad did have a rishus harabim like the guf of the ani, then what did the baal bais do right now? He put into rishus harabim. So Rashi could have said that too. Rashi says nata. The Rashi brings within Rashi that nata or nasa. So again, the ani's hand being in the house is not nizrekes acha gufo gamri. It's not considered to be like the guf of the ani, which is outside. And it should be considered absolute like Rishus HaRabim. So you see that way. You see that the baal bais is not chayvei takes it from the hand, or as we added, if he puts it in the hand, something in his hand. And then Abai says further, Ukushus HaYachid lo damya, again, that we don't say that the yad is considered to be basar haguf, to be Rishus HaYachid, meaning if the case where the hand was extended from inside to be outside. So we don't treat it to be like a Rishus HaYachid. In Pshuta Rishus HaRabim, if the hand is outside and the guf is inside, so we'd see that in the other Baal Bais. And again, that's the mirror Chiddush. Diktani Nato Ani Mitocha Patur. The Ani takes from the hands of the Baal Bais, which is extended outside. The Ani hasn't done Hotsa. If the hand were completely Nigrar after the guf, what would you say? That the hand is the status of Rishus HaYachid, like the Baal Bais who's standing inside. No, Not so. It's not nigra gamri after the goof. Rashi could have added also the case where the hand was empty. If you put something in the hand of the Baal HaBayis, the Ani put something in, say, he's not chayiv, either for hachnas. And then from this, Abai now comes and poses a question as far as a status that you might want to, maybe the Rabbana would establish for the hand that's in the other Rasuth. All this is Rashi's girsa and Rashi's understanding of what Abai's pshitili is about, to establish what principle. That the Yad, when he says it's not, is Yad that's in another Rishus, it's not like Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid, is a way of saying that the Yad is not going to take on the status of the Guf, be it that the Guf is in Rishus HaRabim, be it if the Guf is Rishus HaYochid, the Yad will not take on the status of the Rishus of the Guf. And then the Raya being, therefore the Gersa follows, right, that the Yad Shel'ani is what proves what? The Yad Shel'ani in the inside proves that the hand is not like Rishus HaRabim with the Guf is of the Ani, and the Yad of the Baal HaBayis, which is extended outside, so we say that proves that the Yad is not Rishus HaYochid to be Nigvar after the Baal HaBayis who's inside. This is Rashi. Clear, everybody? Let's contrast it to some of the other Rishonim. The Rishonim bring a gears of the Rach, though in the Rach here it's not so clear to see, so we'll see, say Tosa Rush, let's say Tosa Rush brings it. And just hear clearly the difference between the cases and what's a biased point. They go race differently. The girsa is Kirshus HaRabim lo dam miyadu da Baal HaBayis. Kirshus HaYochid lo dam miyadu da Ani. Rabbeinu Chananu Goris, Kirshus HaYochid lo dam miyadu da Ani. Kirshus HaRabim lo dam miyadu da Baal HaBayis. Vachi Pirusha. Pshitali, what is Abai coming to teach us according to the Rav's girsa? Yado shel adam ein alokish hayachid shehayad sham. So when we say it's not like Rishus HaYochid, are we talking about Rishus HaYochid where the goof is, or the Rishus HaYochid where the hand is? Immediately, what do you notice? It's not Rishus HaYochid if what is in Rishus HaYochid? The hand. According to Rashi, when he says it's not like Rishus HaYochid, meaning if the goof is Rishus HaYochid, the hand is not like the goof. For the Rach, it's going to come out differently. It's not the Yad, it's not Rishus HaYochid, even though it is found in the space of Rishus HaYochid. Yad HaShuadim Eina Lo Rishus HaYochid Shehayad Sham Lo Rishus HaRabim Shehayad Sham. So what is Abayi's focus before you get to the Rai from the Mishnah? So what is Abayi out to teach me according to the Gersa Sarach? What's the focus of Abai to teach me? That the Yad is not treated like being in the Rishus where it's extended, but in, ironically what? What do we view the Yad as? Goof. As nigger after the goof. It's like according to Rashi, the point of Abai is not completely nigger after the goof. According to Rabbeinu Chananel's years, so the Chiddush is not treated like the Rishus that it's found in, rather it's actually nigger after the goof. And now, what's going to be the Raya from the cases of the Mishnah. So he says, now the Gersa is going to be different, remember. So now, what's the Raya from the Mishnah? Kirshus HaYochid, it's not like Rishus HaYochid, that means if the Yad is in the Rishus HaYochid, extended from outside into Rishus HaYochid, it's not going to be treated like Rishus HaYochid, Miyado Da'ani. Notice the difference in the Gersa. According to Rashi, Kirshus HaRabim lo Damya Miyado Da'ani. Rashi's point. Here it's Kirshus HaYochid, it's not Miyadu Da'ani. The Patur, Kishet Pashat Yado Lefnim, Benatal Baal HaBayis Mitocha. What happens if the Ani sticks his hand inside and the Baal HaBayis takes it from him? Shnei Paturin. But wait. If we would say that the Yad is considered to be the status of where it's found, so then what would the halacha be? If you extended your hand inside and something is in it, so now what have you done? In other words, if you stick your hand inside and the Yad is considered like the Rishus that's found in right now, so then right now the Ani should be chayev. before the Balabais took anything from him, the Ani went and brought his hand inside. He stopped. He's saying the Balabais takes from him. Good.
What
is that? Hakiras Yado, Hakiras Chayfetz. What do you mean? Hakiras Yado, Hakiras Chayfetz. Yado Lonaich. What did that say?
That's why it's not.
So it could, which means what? So what is Abai actually saying then? So in a sense, what does it mean? What was the other girsa? Asking the other girsa. What's the other girsa? Yado Vasaguf Ugreir. So in effect, according to the Rach, what is Abai in a sense echoing? It's not considered the shoes that it's in, it's nigger after the goof. Yado Vasaguf Ugreir. You're asking the other one knife. I'm giving you the other version. The other, in effect, what did Abai say? It's nigger after the goof. The Lo Chashvina Le'achnasa came in, and what he says, came in the Vasaguf Ugreir. The Chashvina Le'achnasa, Hayo Eschaik. That's Kirshus Hayachid lo dani miyadu daani, who goes inside with something in his hand. Kirshus Harabim lo dam ya. Now the Gersa Rach the other way. If the Balabai sticks his hand outside with something in it, and the Ani takes from him, so had the Yad be considered Kirshus Harabim, which is where it is right now, Hayalo is chayv. So I want you to think about the following. So, how does this statement of Abaya correspond and relate to the sukkah that we just finished with? The issue of Yadav Onayich, Vasaguf Ugreira. For Rashi, Abaya's focus seems to be the fact that it's not Nigra completely after the goof. And then you have to work out the Raya from the Mishnah, right? Not Talmi Tocha, not Sang Litocha. That's not a violation of Hotzoa Achnasa, because the Yad is not Nigra after the Guf Ugami. That's according to Rashi. According to the Rach, the Chiddush of Abai seems to be that it's not considered to be in the Rishus that it's found, but in effect, it is Nigra after the Guf. Which is a Chor, what you had in the earlier Sugar, according to the Gir, Sugar, the Basa Guf Ugreir. So what's Abai saying that's new to me? And then, of course, how does it read in to the next part of Abaya, which is now I have a suffix about whether it's maybe a kavos. There are a couple of diyukim you should know. First of all, the Rashba asks a kasha on Rashi. There are a couple of kashas that we're showing asking Rashi's pshat. I don't know if anyone's got that to the Rashi, but you'll see. He says, Pshita. Says the Rashi, but the Ein Hayad Pshuta Rishus Hayochid Cholekes Rishus Ra'afnes Etzras Rishus Rabbi. No one could argue that a Yad that's in Rishus Hayochid could have the status of the Guf of Rishus Rabbi. What didn't the Rashi have a problem with? The other direction. A Yad that's extended into Rishus HaRabim, that it should have a status of Rishus HaYachid even while it's in Rishus HaRabim, that didn't bother the Rashi. But you can have a status of Rishus HaRabim when it's extended to Rishus HaYachid, that bothered the Rashi. But that's interesting. Also, take a look at the Baal HaMor and the Tosis Rid. Within the Gersa Rach, they have another way to prove in the Mishnah that the Yad is not considered to be in the Rishus that it's found right now. The Tosafos only mentioned one piece of it, and the fact that you're not chayiv right away with that, but separate from what the other person did. Tosafos written in the Baal HaMor bring another angle as well. Baal HaMor says both. Tosafos only says one. So take note of that as well. Begin to think about how this connects. I'll give you a chance on your own to get oriented, and then hopefully it's a hard sugya that's coming up. Begin to learn through the Cheshbon of the Gemara. It will take us time, but we'll go through it. Okay, we'll take a little time now for.